inside the body. There is a place inside your DNA whose sole purpose is to trigger this awakening. The 55th gene key describes this place, but more than that, it allows you to contemplate and quicken the actual process of awakening. The 55th gene key and its sister transmission, the 22nd gene key, embody the most potent and profound message in this book. The 55th describes the evolutionary force moving from matter to spirit, and the 22nd describes the involutionary force moving from spirit to matter. Together, these two gene keys capture the quintessence of the great change. As you hear the words and ideas behind this gene key, allow them to burrow into the deepest recesses inside your being. There are dormant memory codes inside you that are specifically designed to be activated and awakened by this transmission. As you allow it to penetrate, you might like to note the feelings, thoughts, and impulses that stir inside you. Even if you feel resistance to this gene key, that too should be allowed and respected. Awakening is a process with its own mysterious timing and sequence. Therefore, I invite you to breathe deeply, perhaps allowing yourself a deep sigh from time to time, and above all, please enjoy your flight into this wonderful world where romance becomes reality. Welcome to the heart of the Gene Keys transmission. The 55th Shadow, Victimization, Indra's Net. The 55th Gene Key and the mythical journey from its shadow to its siddhi truly form the heart of this entire work on the 64 Gene Keys. There is no more poignant nor contemporary note sounded within the whole genetic matrix than this odyssey through the seething underworld of victim mentality and out into the pure, clear air of freedom. Of all the gene keys, this is the one we humans most long for, and this is the gift we will soon be given at a collective level. The entire reason behind the timing of this work on the 64 gene keys lies here within the 55th shadow. It has been the theme of humanity since the development of the human neocortex gave us our capacity for self-reflective consciousness. It is the theme of the victim. The 55th shadow of victimization and its programming partner, the 59th shadow of dishonesty, program all human beings at a cellular level to a single effect. They ensure that every individual becomes his or her own worst enemy. There is a universal law, colloquially known as what goes around comes around, and it is this law that the 55th shadow fails to see. The essence of this universal law is expressed through the famous biblical axiom, "As you sow, so shall you reap." These timeless clichés are generally interpreted as applying only to the surface of life rather than to the deeper energetics. It often appears that many who succeed in life in fact do so to the detriment of those around them. Likewise, the most innocent and open-hearted people can be beset by terrible trials that appear to have no explanation. Thus it can seem on the surface that "as you sow, so shall you reap" has little or no substance, and it is generally relegated to the realms of folk wisdom. Because of this tendency only to see the surface of things, the mass consciousness of humanity misses one of the deepest secrets of life. On an energetic level, you truly do always reap exactly as you sow. It simply takes longer for this to become apparent in the material dimension. The highest expression of the 59th siddhi is the quality of transparency, and as transparency testifies, in the end, you cannot hide from yourself. Thus, the key to the 55th shadow and its transcendence depends upon one factor, your attitude. It is not about what happens to you. It is about how you handle it. Losing attitude. There are really only two dimensions to the concept of attitude. You either behave as though you are a victim of circumstance, or you take full responsibility for your situation. Although this sounds simple, there are several layers of complexity to it. Since we are examining the 55th shadow, we will look first at what happens when you play the role of the victim of circumstance. The 55th shadow is located deep in the dorsal ganglia of the solar plexus, and it is about emotions. At low levels of frequency, human beings look outside themselves when they experience either an emotional high or an emotional low. We need to attach a reason to our emotional states. At the high end of the emotional spectrum, we believe that true joy is an effect rather than a cause. Because of this deep-seated belief, we spend most of our lives chasing whatever we think causes the effect of joy. It may be a perfect relationship, lots of money, fame, the perfect place to live, even our God. At the low end of the emotional spectrum, the game we play is blame. We blame anything from the food we have just eaten to our partners to the government for the reason that we feel bad. This human tendency to look for outer causes for our moods is the greatest addiction on our planet. It is rooted in an essential core belief that we are victims of our material reality. This core belief sets up a low-frequency pattern that is reinforced over and over again. In other words, with this inner attitude at the fore, we become caught in a web of our own making. What traps us is our longing. When we are down, we long to be high, and when we are high, we long to hold on to the feeling. Thus, the very feelings we seek create a perpetual hunger for fulfillment that can never be attained. The addiction is the search for fulfillment, not fulfillment itself. Hence, the old chestnut about finding heaven. If you ever found it, you would hate it, because the thing you loved was the hope of fulfillment rather than the state itself. Here we find the secret of frequency itself. It is rooted in your unconscious attitude to life. Because your true attitude remains unconscious, there is no technique, per se, to raise your frequency. All that is required to reach your genetic escape velocity, the frequency that pulls you out of the shadow state and into the gift, is understanding. Understanding must dawn within you at the level of pure being, the understanding that you have become the unwitting victim of your own unconscious belief patterns. When this understanding dawns, you immediately begin to transcend the shadow state. The great spiritual teacher Gurdjieff stated this so simply and beautifully when he said, "In order to escape from prison, one must first understand that one is in prison." Faking freedom. As was mentioned earlier, there are many dimensions to the 55th shadow of victimization. The web that holds us at a low frequency has many subtle twists and turns within it. As the saying goes, one of the devil's greatest tricks is to get people to look for God. The trickiest aspect of the 55th shadow concerns spirituality, and this has particular significance during the current historical epoch. Spirituality itself can become the focal point of the victim consciousness because it can so easily give you the idea that you can do something to free yourself from your shadows and your emotional suffering. This notion has led to the greatest illusion of them all, the illusion of another spiritual reality somehow outside our own sphere of experience. If we look at this notion with clarity, we see the very same pattern of the longing to find fulfillment. If you create an unattainable reality, then you can spend your whole life longing for that reality without ever having to directly experience it. For many religious or spiritual people, this can be a hard truth to stomach. True enlightenment is not what we really want at all. It isn't exciting in the least, but is utterly ordinary. In spite of this, most spirituality is built upon the pursuit of the extraordinary. High levels of frequency do not necessarily lead you to spiritual experiences. In fact, high levels of frequency tear down the very illusion that there is such a thing as spiritual experience. In the contemporary New Age culture, spiritual materialism is rife. That is to say, people now have a brand new drug called the pursuit of truth. It is important to understand that there is nothing wrong with any of these things. If you are drawn to seek something higher, then something is pushing through you, leading you somewhere. If you follow it through to its natural conclusion, it will reveal your true path in the end. For some people, seeking is a direct path to transcendence, but for others, it simply serves as a distraction that draws them further away from their true nature. The 55th shadow prevents the spiritual seeker from following their urge through to its natural conclusion. It does this by identifying either with the form of the teaching, or with the teacher, or with the path itself. Therefore, we see three basic categories of people on a spiritual path: those who are trapped by the structure of a particular teaching, those who are trapped by the magnetic power of a particular teacher, and those who are trapped by their own constant compulsion to be a spiritual tourist. All three of these spiritual traps are authentic stages of any path that will eventually lead to true freedom, but all three also masquerade as freedom itself. These are some of the subtlest levels of the shadow of victimization. As we shall see when we examine the gift and the siddhi of freedom, true freedom has nothing to do with how we spend our time on the material plane. True freedom is not an effect. It is a kind of ever-expanding spaciousness that arises spontaneously inside you as you come to understand how deeply victimized you really are by your own core beliefs. The dying of drama. One of the greatest allures of mankind is the ideal of romantic love. In this context, we are not only referring to the longing of one human heart for another, but to the ideal of romance in a wider context. This is the idea of life as a romance. The very basis of romantic love is that it can never be truly fulfilled, but must continually flow from cataclysmic dips to ecstatic swells, creating a wonderfully rich symphony of human emotion and drama. All human performance, art, from the loftiest play to the most mundane TV soap opera, stands as a metaphor within the metaphor of life itself. Because of the 55th shadow, we are all victims of life's drama. We are caught in an incredibly intricate net woven from the strands of our pain on one side and our pleasure on the other. We actually love and hate the net simultaneously, but above all, we are addicted to it, as we are addicted to all high drama. Within your dream world and beneath the net, your greatest longing is given expression. Under the net, you can live out your dream. You can soar, dance, weep, suffer, and above all, you can love. And yet, your love within the net is a deeply limited love, a love that never escapes the confines of its own illusions. Under the net, you fall in love or you fall out of love. Either way, you remain a victim of your projections, expectations, and inevitably your disappointments. The net cast by the 55th shadow choreographs the ebb and flow of your breath patterns as you rise and fall on life's melodies. Sometimes you sink into melancholy and your whole life force seems to come to a halt. Your breathing itself becomes thinner. At other times you fly on a sudden mood swing and your heart beats faster and your breathing fills your chest to bursting. This is what we believe freedom to be. In between the extremes, melodies give way to cadences, shifts in tempo give way to phrases, notes, trills, pauses, and every conceivable kind of feeling. We live our lives submerged within these waves, and there is no end to our emotional processing. As regards the 55th shadow, the coming mutation will trigger the end of our addiction to the drama of life and the beginning of our discovery of what true freedom really means. At its core, the 55th shadow conceals the longing of consciousness to return to its own unity, although this is most commonly expressed as the romantic longing for the perfect soulmate. There is a wonderful Hindu myth known as Indra's net, in which the cosmos is seen as an infinite lattice with a jewel at every junction in the net. Within each individual jewel, every other jewel is perfectly reflected. The 55th shadow casts a veil over these jewels, thereby keeping humanity trapped within the net and unable to experience the unity of all things. With the coming shift, our awareness will finally be able to slip through the strands of the emotional net that has kept us in a state of victimization for so long. In doing so, we will glimpse for the first time the truth of our collective unity, shimmering in every one of Indra's endless jewels. The solar plexus, the second brain. The emotional matrix of the 55th shadow lies within the domain of the solar plexus region in the human body. The massive complex of nerve ganglia in this area has often been referred to as the second brain. It operates independently from the cranial brain through its continual governance of vascular and visceral functions within the body. The sheer voltage of our emotional states, particularly at their extremes, far outweighs the subtle cognitive processes of reason that we hold in such high regard and which emanate from the cranial brain. Relatively little is known about the exact nature of the neurocircuitry within the solar plexus or about its mechanics and true capabilities. What we do know is that despite our best efforts, our emotions have more power over us than our minds, and the world around us continually testifies to this fact. The reawakening of the solar plexus, the riddle of the eons. Much of the 55th gene key transmission concerns the future of our species as it moves through the great change, and as such, it is a profoundly prophetic piece of writing. However, one of the greatest pieces of the puzzle is actually found in our very distant past. Generations of mythologists, folklorists, archaeologists, mystics, and historians have spoken of another race of human beings that existed before our modern recorded history. Indeed, all our great human myths and fairy tales are encoded with information about a lost golden age that was extinguished or lost in some form of vast cataclysm, deluge, or flood. To the psychologist, these myths have always been seen as metaphorical and archetypal psychic yearnings to return to the security of the womb. But what if they are actually folk memories held within our ancestral DNA? The 55th gene key has much to say about this. Although many ancient cultures have devised methods of mapping vast spans and cycles of time, one pattern holds true at the simplest and most mythical level, the trinary pattern. Every great work of art or allegorical story has, at its core, this archetypal trinary time flow, which divides all human narrative, internal and external, into threes. Woven into the very structure of the human psyche is a profound resonance to these fundamental patterns. There is always some kind of initial fall from grace, followed by a journey of discovery and trial, culminating in a final redemptive victory. When we apply this mapping to the whole of human evolution, we see our human story depicted as three great eons, vast spans of time marked by four major leaps in consciousness. The three eons and their evolutionary stages. The three eons and their four turning points describe the evolutionary arc of our entire planetary consciousness. Essentially, this threefold pattern describes three distinct evolutionary stages, culminating in a fourth transcendent stage, a tetrahedral geometry of consciousness. The theory of involution and the seven root races. According to the gene keys, life is an interplay between two primary forces, the current of evolution and the current of involution. The way that we are trained to think in the West focuses mainly on the objective, external world rather than the inner, subjective reality. For this reason, we tend to lay greater emphasis on the evolutionary current, which has become the basis of the modern scientific approach. However, many mystical and esoteric traditions from around the world have also considered life from the other aspect, which sees life as an involutionary process in which consciousness is gradually incarnating deeper and deeper into the form, shaping our evolution as it does so. This view, known as emanationism, holds that at every stage of our planetary and personal evolution, there is an unfolding hidden purpose which reveals itself in successive steps. As divine life involutes, so human and earth life evolves, and as we strive upwards in our consciousness towards the higher frequencies, so we are able to draw them down into our lives on the material plane. Within the greater pattern of the three eons lies another pattern based on seven sub-stages, known as the seven root races. In this theory of involution, each root race represents a major stage in our planetary development. In esoteric tradition, the root races are often seen as literal races of human beings who preceded our modern human. Within the gene keys synthesis, the root races are viewed as the unveiling of the subtle layers of the living spirit of Gaia, our Earth. In other words, from the involutionary perspective, all aspects of the form of our planet and indeed our universe are seen as being imbued with levels of consciousness from the densest mineral to the subtlest gas. The earliest root races thus represent the subtlest forms of divine consciousness as it steps down its frequency in order to enter into physical manifestations, the first eon. At a certain point in the evolutionary story of our planet, consciousness enters so deeply into the material realm that it forgets itself entirely, the second eon. Then comes the remembering and the mythic return to paradise as consciousness transforms the material realm, integrating all dimensions back into itself, thus completing its epic evolutionary arc. The third eon. The seven root races and their corresponding planes of reality. The seven root races also relate directly to the seven planes of reality and the seven subtle bodies of the aura, thus giving us both a narrative and a timeline for the involutionary stages of consciousness. For more information on the seven sacred bodies and their corresponding planes, you can listen to the 22nd gene key. The first root race, the Polarian, monadic plane. The second root race, the Hyperborean, atmic plane. The third root race, the Lemurian, Buddhic plane. The fourth root race, the Atlantean, causal plane. The fifth root race, the Aryan, mental plane. The sixth root race, the Trivian, astral plane. The seventh root race, the Pangaean, physical plane. The first aeon, preparing the Garden of Gaia. The first two root races, known as the Polarian and Hyperborean, represent the crystallization of the form of the Earth itself. In other words, they span the time period in which our planet actually formed, corresponding to the monadic body, the ultimate source of divinity. The Polarian root race represents divine idea or will before it descends into form and experiences separation. The second root race, the Hyperborean, relates to the atmic body, which is the body of light. This refers to the coalescing of our planet out of the minerals and elements from the sun. This phase includes the formation of the Earth's atmosphere and the gradual refining of its elements and gases until our planet was able to support life. It was during these first phases of our evolution that the constituent elements of all planetary life were endowed with subtle forms of consciousness. In some traditions, these are known as the angels of the elements and the devas of the mineral realm. The second aeon, the flowering and the fall. The third root race, known as the Lemurian, represents the birth of animate life as it emerged from the waters and populated the earth. This was the Eden phase, in which divine essence manifested its superabundance as all the kingdoms of nature. The Lemurian consciousness of our planet was and still remains a single unified being existing on the Buddhic plane, known as the plane of ecstasy. This is also the plane of many of the Devic realms, the manifestations of consciousness inherent in all living forms. It was during the Lemurian phase that the first human beings were conceived and born. The fourth root race, the Atlantean, represents humanity before the fall. This race of human beings, sometimes known as the Adamic race, is little more than a dim memory to modern human beings. We modern humans were separated from our true source by a series of cataclysms, which have become mythically known as the Fall. The truth of this fall has been handed down by our indigenous cultures through their stories and creation myths, which have, in turn, found their way into our modern cultures and beliefs. The Atlantean root race and its culture and environment were completely obliterated, and evolution was literally rebooted and begun again in a new and different direction. However, Atlantean consciousness existed and still exists on the causal plane, which is the plane of the archetypes, the quantum language that lies beyond the logical mind. The original Atlantean consciousness, unlike the modern human, was centered in the solar plexus and did not experience itself as separate from the source of all life, but was the very heart and mind of Gaia herself. The third aeon, the fifth race, and the Kali Yuga. In every great tale, there must be a fall. In Indian Vedic tradition, the evolutionary stages are known as the Yugas, and the darkest stage of all is known as the Kali Yuga, after Kali, the dark goddess of time and change. Our current root race, the Aryan, is now coming towards the end of the Kali Yuga, the epoch after the fall. The Aryan consciousness exists on the mental plane, and our main instrument of awareness is our continually evolving brain. Ironically, our greatest gift, our ability to reason, gives us the illusion that we are separate from each other and from our environment. However, the third aeon is about the long walk home. Ever since we fell from grace, we humans have been seeking the way home. We seek through science, we seek through religion, and above all, we seek through love. The Great Change and the Sixth Race. The time of the Great Change is now upon us. As the fifth root race prepares to give way to the sixth root race, the Trivian, time itself appears to be speeding up. The sixth race has long been prophesied by mystics and sages, corresponding to the involution of divine essence into the astral plane, the realm of emotion and desire. The sixth race will bring transformation to our entire planet. As divine consciousness continues to descend deeper and deeper into form, it reveals its true nature. The coming epoch will see the sublimation of human sexuality and desire into unconditional love. The sixth race will be triggered through the 55th gene key and its mutation within the solar plexus center, the seat of human emotion. The Trivian race heralds the reawakening of this center and will allow human beings to experience once again the universal quantum field connecting all beings. This reawakening is not a retrograde movement into a past golden age, but a new integration of the three lower planes, the physical, astral, and mental, into their higher counterparts, the causal, buddhic, and atmic. The seventh and final root race, the Pangaean, really lies beyond words. It represents the integration of all the kingdoms of Gaia into one single vibrating presence. It is where spirit and matter become one, and where the divine monadic essence shines through the physical plane, allowing it to ascend. It is the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. The ending of the trilogy and the return to Eden. Humanity and our whole planetary consciousness now stands at its greatest threshold to date, the final phase of the trilogy, and the eventual resolution of the riddle of the eons. This is such a rare event in the unfolding of consciousness that it brings about vast shifts at every level of life. What is coming seems so fantastic that our minds cannot stretch far enough to encompass such a reality. As our fairy tales tell us, the third time is the charm and always brings redemption. Indeed, all our great myths, films, romances, and dramas culminate with some form of synthesis. Without this synthesis, our hearts feel incomplete. It is always at the very end, when we have all but given up hope of redemption, that liberation comes. It comes in a great tidal rush, playing out as a trinary pattern of testing and release that is so familiar to us that we ever find ourselves yearning for that happy ending. We yearn for it so deeply because it is stamped within the genetic structure of all life forms in our galaxy, and because it is in our DNA, our final destiny must and will be to witness the rebirth of Eden and live peacefully in the garden forever and ever after. Repressive and reactive patterns of the 55th shadow. Repressive nature. Complaining. The 55th shadow of victimization has two main forms of expression. The repressive nature manifests as complaining. Complaining is an unconscious mindset in which one makes oneself the central victim within one's own drama. Every time one complains, outwardly or internally, one effectively disempowers oneself. The repressive nature tends to complain inwardly, taking a pessimistic view of life, whereas the reactive nature tends towards finding a specific external target to blame. When one gets caught in the frequency of complaining, one is caught in the net of the drama of life, the mire. The energy of the complaint itself serves to strengthen the illusion that life is so very hard. Apart from reinforcing itself in this way, complaining also causes sustained general wear on our physical organism. Freedom occurs when we see through our deepest unconscious patterns to the heart of this energetic. Reactive nature. Blaming. The other common form taken by the 55th shadow is blame. The reactive nature externalizes its complaints by specifically blaming something or someone else. When we blame another, we fire an arrow that removes self-responsibility for our situation. In this sense, we invest aspects of ourselves within other beings, giving away our true power and presence. All blame is an expression of anger projected outwardly, but in this sense it is not pure. Pure anger is a release of the primal energy of fear that may be triggered by an external source, yet does not target that source. The moment one blames another, one is again the victim of one's own drama. It is impossible to blame another for one's fate and simultaneously realize that one is simply an actor in a play. The very act of seeing through the seriousness of life releases the energy of blame. From the reactive side, true freedom occurs when the arrows of blame are caught in mid-flight before they reach their target. Part 2. The Mutative Process. The 55th Gift and Siddhi, Freedom. The Spirit of the Future Epoch. Contemplation of the 55th gift inevitably leads one to ponder the future of humanity and of our planet. Over the following sections, we will look both at what is occurring to humanity now and what will occur at the time of the great change that lies ahead of us. In listening to the codes contained in the 64 gene keys, of less importance are the details of the unfolding of this great change. Any consideration of the details can at best be based on conjecture and opinion. However, through a profound resonance with the core frequency behind this work on the 64 gene keys, it is possible to capture the spirit of the coming epoch. As you may begin to divine from the following sections, the ripples of this mutation will affect all corners of life on our planet. The other factor to bear in mind concerning the coming change is the speed at which it will overtake us. In evolutionary terms, it will happen overnight, although in practical temporal terms, it will happen gradually and almost imperceptibly. We are talking about a genetic mutation that will slowly colonize our species. In other words, the old human will literally be bred out of humanity. This means that very soon there will be children born among us who carry the full mutation and who will spread it through the gene pool. These children will be different from us. They will not emotionally engage with us on a victim level, but will hold a high frequency that will, over time, transform the families into which they are born. We will consider their role more fully towards the end of this gene key. The Release Code of Higher Consciousness. Down the centuries, much has been written, spoken, and taught concerning the nature of higher consciousness. We are now entering an era in which more and more people will have direct access to an experience of true higher consciousness. Eventually, what occurs during the 21st century will spread to the entire collective and catalyze an age that even now we can only dream of. Up until now, the process of awakening has been understood and explained, except in a very few cases, at an individual level only. Teachers, sages, and gurus have communicated their truths in a style suited to individuals. The emphasis has almost always been, how can I awaken? Two main elements within this question are now rapidly passing their sell-by date. The first is the question of how. As we shall see, the 55th gene key will bring an end to the question of how. Secondly, the individual element of I will be gradually phased out by the coming changes to humanity. We are entering the age of we. Only when we have fully absorbed the truth that humanity is one collective we, will the final irony be delivered to us as we once again become a deeply mystical collective I. A vast and dynamic change in the form of a genetic cellular mutation is coming to human beings. It is being triggered by this 55th gene key and its related amino acid histidine. At a chemical level, your own body is in the process of preparing for this mutation as you listen to these words. The process is underway at a collective level too, and not a single human being is immune to it. At its highest level, the 55th gene key is the release code for higher consciousness. There are many profound implications to this process, and there is a specific sequence to its unfolding. As we examine this gene key in further depth, we shall try to look ahead to the kinds of changes we are facing and how they may affect us, both as individuals and as society in general. The pivoting of awareness. Within the spectrum of consciousness, the linguistic matrix underpinning the 64 gene keys, the 55th gift is unique. When you look down the columns of words that represent the frequencies of each gift and siddhi, you will see that the word for the 55th gift, freedom, is the same as the word for the siddhi. This is the only place in the spectrum where this occurs, and it has very great import. The 55th gift is a pivot around which human awareness is launching a new faculty, the ability to travel through physical space. This development will change everything about the world as we know it. Once awareness has been set free in this way, what we have previously seen as higher consciousness will become our ordinary state. This is why the word for the siddhi and the gift are the same. The spectrum of consciousness itself will be torn open from this point, and one by one, each of the gifts will be freed from its shadow and will merge with its highest potential in the siddhi. As the shadow energy rises up to the gift, so the siddhic energy descends to the gift. It is as though the genetic wheel of fortune is going to ratchet into a whole new gear the moment it reaches a specific cog in its path. This cog is the 55th gift. From that moment on, a new force will enter the world with new laws and new ramifications for us all. Up until now in human history, awareness has been confined to the individual human form. We experience awareness as movement, as feeling, and as thought. Unless someone reaches a heightened or siddhic state, they cannot access awareness outside of their body. However, throughout history, expanded awareness has spontaneously flowered in certain human beings, giving us a taste of our future. In a siddhic state of consciousness, awareness is the connective tissue between organisms. It is the interface between consciousness itself and the world of form. The form is the skin, the fruit is the awareness, and the seed is consciousness. In the simplest terms, awareness is the key that opens the door between what we call God and man. Heavenly hydraulics. To understand the true nature of the coming awakening, one can find a beautiful parallel in the life cycle of the dragonfly. Dragonflies spend much of their early lives underwater. As underwater insects, they are known as nymphs, and unlike most pond insects, they do not have to come to the surface for air. For most of their lives, nymphs live totally underwater, where they are highly successful predators, feeding on anything from leaf litter to small fish. During this stage of its life, the nymph goes through a series of molts, stages of maturity in which it sheds its skin, but still remains as a nymph. These stages of the insect's life can last several years, and during this time, it has no idea whatsoever of what kind of future lies ahead. It is undergoing a series of hidden mutations. Then one day, all of a sudden, some sleeping gene deep within is triggered, and the nymph does something totally out of character. It finds the stalk of a nearby plant and climbs out of the water. For the first time in its life, it tastes air and direct sunlight. Once the nymph has left the safety of its underwater environment, the sunlight begins to work on it, catalyzing what will be its final molt. It is at this stage that the true magic occurs, as the advanced creature, hidden within the nymph, cracks the outer larval skin. Over a period of several hours, four crumpled wings appear, and the distinctive slender thorax begins to uncurl. What is of great metaphorical relevance at this stage concerns the element of water. As the emerging dragonfly rises out of the element of water and prepares to be reborn into a new life in the element of air, the water that still lies within its body becomes the key to the transformation process. Through a process of hydraulics, the water within the nymph's body is pumped into the emerging wings and thorax, causing them to unfurl and spread out for the first time. In other words, the dragonfly assumes its aerodynamic shape by means of the water from its old life. This water is what drives its mutation from nymph to dragonfly. As soon as all the water is expended and the dragonfly is fully extended, it takes to the air and begins its new life. The life cycle of the dragonfly is a perfect metaphor for the awakening of the 55th gift and its city. The raw energy of your emotions becomes the vehicle for the unfurling of your future awareness, and once that awareness is born, your life exists forever on a higher plane. This metaphor also shows us that as a species, we must dive deeply into the emotional field, where we will go through a series of mutations of which we are generally unaware. Whilst we exist in the world of emotions, we will have little inkling of the life that lies ahead of us. When the 55th shadow finally mutates fully, the collective awakening will truly begin in earnest. The early stages of the awakening sequence. We will examine the specific timing and sequence of this awakening at the end of the section. At present, in relation to the dragonfly metaphor, we are in the stages of climbing up the stem, out of the water, and into the sunlight. The world genetic stage is in the full sway of this drama, and because of this, it can be a deeply confusing time. You may already be having glimpses and premonitions of what is to come as your body and psyche becomes the battlefield for this mutative process. Particularly, if you carry the 55th gift as one of your prime gifts, you may be highly susceptible to wild fluctuations in your normal rhythms, energy patterns, and emotions. This is a deep process of integration that will last a considerable time, but that will gradually become more stable. The early stages of the awakening, up until 2012, are set to be the most volatile phase of the process. It is during this phase that our emotional systems are literally being broken down. Two gene keys are strongly connected with the 55th gift, its programming partner, the 59th gift of intimacy, and the 39th gift of dynamism. They are also highly active in this process of awakening. The 39th gift and its city of liberation will challenge every emotional facet of our nature. You can see here the direct relationship between these two higher states of liberation and freedom. The 39th city actually provokes the final state of freedom. Liberation is a dynamic process, whereas freedom is a release. Equally powerful is the 59th city of transparency, which awakens simultaneously with the 55th city. You can see the hidden agenda beneath the awakening process in this city. We humans are being forced to become transparent, like the dragonfly's wings. The 59th gift of intimacy is the first step along the road. We have to allow life to crack our hearts open through our relationships. We already know that the 55th gene key is about romance, which is why the awakening of the 55th gift is about relationships. After this awakening has occurred, one will no longer exist as an individual. Awareness will operate collectively. The early shattering of the sense of separateness will take place through your intimate relationships. From now on, the more you try to hide from others, the more suffering you will bring upon yourself. Every hidden agenda must be aired and destroyed. The mind's obsessive grip on separateness must also be destroyed. This is the end of the age of selfishness. There will be many who resist this mutation, as there must be. They are not a part of what is to come, and this must be respected. Through these people, old energy will leave the world. There is no choice in this. It is a matter of the collective selection of appropriate genetic material for the future human. The vaporization of the victim consciousness. As we have seen, the 55th shadow is rooted in the notion of being a victim, and in particular of being a victim of emotions, whether your own or someone else's. After the awakening of the 55th gift, the concept of emotions belonging to someone will be absurd. Emotions operate in a wave frequency, and at a collective level, there is only one wave which connects us all together. That some people may generate this wave and others may receive it is simply mechanics. Like the symbol of the dragonfly, our new awareness will lift us above the dark waters of the victim consciousness, but this will not be a simple transcendence. We will not become less human in this process. In fact, the process can only be triggered by such a deep submersion into our human wounding that it becomes the very catalyst of our transcendence. The process of awakening is a process that has long been known. It is most accurately described through the esoteric science of alchemy. In traditional Taoist alchemy, there is a secret formula known as the Kan and Li. Kan means water and Li means fire. In this alchemical formula, the solar plexus is seen as a cauldron, and emotional energy is the water within the cauldron. The fire beneath the cauldron is awareness, also known as qi. And this awareness is said to cook the emotional energy, also known as jing. The result is a process of steaming in which a third transcendent force arises through the process. The Chinese call this third force Shen, which means spirit. Western alchemy uses similar archetypes, but in a different cultural way. In the West, we tend to see the two forces as a man and woman within us, animus and anima. These two copulate in a mystical union, giving birth to a magical child, often seen as Mercury. In the language of the 64 gene keys, the shadow state is the raw material of eventual transcendence. Without diving deeply into our shadows and freeing the awareness from its roots, we will never experience the elation of the vaporization of the victim consciousness within us. Only on those blissful vapors can we rise above the emotional depths and surf the collective wave. The rising of humanity's gifts. There are two main phases to the awakening, triggered by the 55th gift. The first phase is represented by this rising up of mass consciousness out of the shadows of victim consciousness. As this occurs, we will see the world as we currently know it gradually changing shape. Up until now, only a small percentage of human beings have managed to escape the shadow state and deliver their gifts to the world. Only a very, very few have attained the siddhic level of consciousness. This is all exactly as it should be. Each frequency band depends upon that below and above it. In other words, the more people there are transcending their shadow state, the more chance there is for someone at a higher level to make the leap to the siddhic level. It may take 100,000 people living at the gift level to provide the momentum for one being to make the leap to the siddhic level, By the same token, one person at the civic level provides the collective frequency for thousands to escape the lower frequency of their shadows and begin to live out their gifts. When a person is freed from the shadow state, they become a creative conduit for life itself. They also begin to fulfill their true destiny within the whole. The final destiny of the whole is represented by the 50th city and the 6th city, harmony and peace. This means that as a person begins to do what they love to do in life, they begin to co-create these conditions on the physical plane. As a process, this may take hundreds or even thousands of years to reach its final phase. When it does, like the dragonfly, our entire planet will mutate to its next phase of evolution in another reality, represented by the 28th city of immortality. This word freedom is truly a dimensionless word. As we begin this process of transcending our shadows, miracles can occur in our lives. Freedom is the spirit of the 55th gift. It is the spirit of humanity. As your awareness stretches, the spirit of freedom breaks down the barriers in your life. The fractal lines open all around you, and energy that was lying choked in a certain dimension suddenly precipitates unforeseen beneficial circumstances in your life. Every aspect of your life is interconnected, so a breakthrough at the source of your being will ripple out into all areas, some that you perhaps didn't even remember existed. The Threefold Awakening Sequence. In part one of this gene key, we looked at the threefold pattern inherent to all universal rhythms, and we charted this through the evolutionary phases of the three eons, and our current subphase known as the 333, which holds the master genetic sequence for closing the eons. In the last 20 years or so, the world has indeed undergone vast changes in its inner structure. As we move through this incredible portal, we can identify three distinct dates or markers that set the trajectory of the process of planetary awakening and fusion. These markers are points of shift written into the vibrational score of our evolution. They are 1987, the harmonic convergence, 2012, the melodic resonance, and 2027, the rhythmic symphony. These three phases of harmony, melody, and rhythm form the imprinting field for the complete restructuring of all vibrational life on our planet. 1987, Harmonic Convergence. Much has been said of the harmonic convergence. It represented a crossing over point in consciousness in which an unprecedented event occurred. Triggered by a supernova within a neighboring galaxy, 1987 bore witness to the beginning of the Age of Synthesis, a series of unprecedented celestial alignments made possible a shift in human brain chemistry, allowing us to finally perceive the unifying truth behind all the great teachings of the ages. It is important to understand that these marker points are not events, but ongoing developmental processes. The harmonic convergence is still taking place today on many levels as huge previously separate spheres of human endeavor come together. We are now seeing the beginning of the synthesis of all the human sciences and arts, of the left brain and the right brain, of the male and the female, of the east and the west. The harmony is, as the great sage Heraclitus said, a hidden harmony, but it is now becoming increasingly more apparent. 2012, Melodic Resonance. As the most talked-about date in recent times, there is not much left unsaid about 2012. Let us then put it in the context of this threefold awakening sequence. In metaphorical language, 1987 was the gestation period, 2012 is the birth, and 2027 is the coming to fruition of the new order. The real meaning of melody is rooted in the understanding of romance. Melody is the aspect of music that catches the emotional breath and causes human beings to dream. 2012 marks the alignment of humanity as a single organism through the breath and the reawakened awareness of the solar plexus center. Whatever deep dreams and longings